news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Another day, another record. Yeah, there were a record number of new coronavirus cases reported in the United States on Wednesday, with a Washington Post tally putting the increase at 52,788. Johns Hopkins data put the figure at 50,203. Regardless, more than 50,000 new COVID-19 cases were reported on Wednesday alone. At least five states, Arizona, California, North Carolina, Tennessee, and Texas, all set one-day records. In California, Governor Gavin Newsom announced an order to close for 3 weeks restaurant dining rooms, bars, and other indoor facilities in 19 counties that encompasses 72% of the state's population. One infectious disease expert warned that the U.S. was facing the perfect storm for a COVID-19 spike, with people traveling for the July 4th weekend and many businesses newly reopening. Now, because Friday, July 3rd, is a legal holiday this year, the June jobs report was released on Thursday instead. Experts warned in advance that this jobs report will likely look great on paper, and it does, as the U.S. added a record 4.8 million jobs in June. That brings the official unemployment rate down to 11.1%. But those numbers are deceiving, because with the resurgence of the virus and a fresh wave of shutdowns, the reality of the job market is certainly much bleaker. But because of a lag in the federal data, those numbers are the results of a survey conducted through the middle of June and don't capture the current devastation. So economists tell us those numbers should therefore be taken with a whole stockpile of salt. Oh, and one more piece of bad news. The number of permanent job losers continued to rise, increasing by 588,000 to 2.9 million in June. The number of unemployed people who were on temporary layoff decreased by 4.8 million in June to 10.6 million, following a decline of 2.7 million in May. And we also learned that another 1.4 million people filed initial unemployment claims in June as well. So much winning. After complaints about the briefings received by Congress on the Russia bounty intel, on Thursday, top intelligence officials, including CIA Director Gina Haspel, are briefing the Gang of Eight Thursday morning on intelligence suggesting that Russia paid Taliban soldiers to kill Americans. That briefing is happening at 11:30 a.m., interestingly, the same time that Donald Trump is speaking on one thing or another. A group of former George W. Bush administration and campaign officials has started a super PAC aiming at disgruntled Republicans to get them to support the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden. The group is using the name 43 Alumni for Biden, and they say they, quote, seek to unite and mobilize a community of historically Republican voters who are dismayed and disappointed by the damage done to our nation by Donald Trump's presidency. So Trump's pal Vladimir will likely hold on to power for the conceivable future. Russian voters allegedly approved constitutional changes that will let Putin hold on to power until 2036. The voting was extended for a full week to boost turnout without creating crowds that could have increased the risk of spreading the coronavirus. Kremlin critics said the government used the unprecedented long voting period to manipulate the result. Either way, it looks like Vladimir Putin isn't going anywhere. But a statue of Stonewall Jackson is gone. In Richmond, Virginia, authorities on Wednesday removed the statue as momentum builds to end the public display of monuments to figures prominent in the Confederacy. The statue was one of four honoring Confederate soldiers on Monument Avenue in the state capitol, which also served as the capital of the Confederacy during the Civil War. Protests have gathered nightly in the area since the killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis police custody inspired nationwide protests against police brutality and racial injustice. The protesters have been calling for removing the Confederate statues because they are symbols of racism and the fight to preserve slavery. In early June, protesters toppled part of a monument to Jefferson Davis, president of the Confederacy. A spokesman for Richmond's mayor said the city would, quote, remove as many monuments as we can, as soon as we can. So while that's a good sign, the Senate appears to be moving backwards. On Wednesday, the Senate stripped language from the National Defense Authorization Act that would have required presidential campaigns to report offers of foreign election help. Seriously? Donald Trump on Wednesday criticized New York City for its plan to paint Fifth Avenue, where Trump Tower is located, with the words Black Lives Matter, which he called a, quote, symbol of hate. Trump tweeted that painting the name of the anti-racism movement would result in, quote, denigrating this luxury avenue and would further antagonize police. The comments come just days after Trump retweeted a video showing a supporter shouting white power at pro-Black Lives Matter protesters in Florida. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio said his government was shifting $1 billion out of the police budget to use for civilians who can better handle some work that police had been handling poorly. He also said some of the money would go to youth incentives. And finally, a New York appellate judge on Wednesday lifted a restraining order to allow publisher Simon & Schuster to move forward with its plan to release a tell-all book by Donald Trump's niece, Mary Trump. A lower court had put the late July release on hold pending a decision on whether a non-disclosure agreement Mary Trump signed as part of a settlement of Fred Trump's estate prevented her from writing the book Too Much and Never Enough, How My Family Created the World's Most Dangerous Man. But the appellate judge ruled that the privacy agreement didn't involve publisher Simon & Schuster, so it can continue distributing the book pending a decision on the core issue of whether Mary Trump violated the confidentiality agreement by writing the book in the first place. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.